Kevin, for about the last 13 years, you've been working up in the boreal forest, looking at water. You've been involved in a number of different projects. What have you learned about how hydrology works in the boreal forest over the last few years?
Well, first of all, that it's really quite different from other parts of Canada, driven mostly by the climate. It's subhumid, as well as the deep glacial deposits that we have here really increase storage. So storage of water is very important. And evapotranspiration by the vegetation has a large control on the hydrology in this landscape. So when you're looking at how water flows through this landscape, you need to understand where the storage is a lot less or a lot more to understand the sink and source of water through this landscape. And what we're starting to realize now is that most forested areas will be a sink for water because of the high demand by vegetation in an area that's subhuman or in a deficit. Interestingly enough, finding out that the wetlands, peatlands, because they can control the evapotranspiration from them, tend to be sources of water in this landscape.
Describe for me the study areas.
We call it the Uticuma Region Study Area. We started that in about 1998. And it's a transect that goes over a outwash plain, a moraine, and a clay plain, typical surface of geology units in this boreal plain. And that, we've been working on various sites there in lakes and individual wetlands for the past 12 years or so. We've also in 2005 started to move towards, we call it the LPAC catchment experiment, and it was more towards streams. It's difficult to find relatively small streams here or find streams that are easy to monitor for scientific purposes, but we have that, and that's near Lac La Biche.
Now, one of the things that you showed in your presentation today at the Conrad Symposium was the influence of climate, wet and dry cycles. Explain that to me, please.
Well, we're in a landscape that, on the long term, precipitation is less than potential evapotranspiration, but we come in these cycles of relatively long periods of less than average rainfall, and so we dry out into droughts that are punctuated with wet periods. And what this does is really play on the different storages, both in wetlands and forest lands, and how they'll respond to rainfall.
Certainly a lot of your work has been used by people in the forestry industry. What are some of the things that they might pay attention to as a result of your work?
Well, I think it's in two cases. One is largely in the operational. When they go out in the landscape, they need to know where there'll be problems with excess moisture, I guess we call it scientists, but where they'd wet up and bog down in their operations. And they've been really interested in understanding how we look at climate cycles. So predicting this memory of wetting up, and is it a wet year? That can be difficult to predict, but at least you can see that we are getting to the point that if this summer it starts to rain, that you'll run into problems. So they've been starting to use those kind of relationships for their planning. And in other way that they're looking at it is where the ground surface wets up. It'll depend on the changes in sandy and clay areas within this landscape. And of course, that is where they'll have problems with road building or skidding, etc. And they do not want to cause rutting. So we've been working with them on looking how to use climate, surface geology, and vegetation cover to better predict those wet areas.
Now today we're in a scenario where oil sands companies are looking at how they can reclaim areas that they've essentially had to destroy, and they want to rebuild them and recreate the hydrology that was there. What messages do you have for people in this oil sands industry as they go ahead with this reclamation effort?
Our work on the natural systems, and we can consider them analogs for the oil sands environment, can be very useful to them. Some of the messages are is that our landscape over the millennium has tended to dry out. The vegetation demand for water has been such that we have large storage in our soils. When you contrast that with the oil sands, when they initially build a landscape or create a landscape, it tends to be wet. But our research is starting to show that over time, as the vegetation comes in, you should expect that it'll tend to dry out. And where there are water sources now, they may dry up. And so that's in maintaining viable wetland and forest land ecosystems. We'll need this understanding of how dry forest lands will get and where the sources of water, namely wetlands, and how to integrate that into their landscape.
Do you think it's possible to take these sort of end mine pits and actually eventually integrate them into the natural landscape? You don't want them to end up being sort of independent bathtubs sitting out there in the forest.
Yes, so I think you can. It all depends on the engineering questions on how they're dealing with pit lakes. But from a hydrologist's point of view, from my point of view, is we can start to play with the different materials, different storage properties of the materials that they have, and integrate them in a way that we can make sure there's water flowing, so there is enough fresh water into these systems and enough water regularly, persistently through time. So you can do this by building a mosaic of different grain-sized materials and wetlands within that landscape.
We know what nature has deposited underneath the surface that you have to deal with. So what would be the equivalents that are coming out of the oil sands plants?
We tend to look at natural analogs and try and tie it to what's available there in the oil sands. And right now what we have is they're producing overburden material, which is often marine shales, very fine-grained materials, which are similar in many ways in their storage properties and the hydrology to our moraine sites that are available in the nature. Also, they have sand deposits, and those are very similar to our coarse glacial fluvial regions that we have. So what we've done is looked at moraine sites, fine-grained clay plains that are fine-grained, and also glacial fluvial sites that are sand or coarse-grained, and looked at how water flows, nutrient flows, and how wetlands and forest lands interact in those landscapes, and transferred this understanding, at least, to what the water flow would be on the oil sands.
In the reclamation process, what do you think comes first? The plants, the trees, or the water?
In understanding, you would have to really play with the water first. Get the water flow correct to maintain wetlands, forest lands, where the trees grow on. That would have to be the primary concern.
What's next for you in your research?
Well, it's been 13 years, a lot of running around and collecting a lot of data and trying to synthesize it. I think we're at the time now where we really need to convert the field work and our conceptual understanding into both conceptual models and numerical models. And I think we'll maintain monitoring of a variety of different sites, do some more detailed studies, but at this point now, it's really to synthesize and to start heading in the direction of numerical modeling, like what Carl Mendoza and Rich Patron and other fellows that I work with are doing.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thank you.